chapter 2, 1 through 4, because we're coming up on Pentecost Sunday, and I think it's important. I want you to understand that what Pentecost means on the calendar of God. You and I are have our own calendar, and according to our calendar, what, today is May 17th when I'm preaching this. And so on our calendar, we know that that's today, and there are certain things that we do, right? The usually rule of thumb is what, you don't plant flowers till after Mother's Day. And then we use our calendar and know when we're going to plant our garden, right? David, I don't know about you, but that's coming soon, right? It's in. All right. So his is in. All right. And so we go by our own calendar. We'll know that when harvest time comes for what we plant, right, that it will come in months. And we're looking forward to that. But God also has a calendar. And what Pentecost is to you and I, as we understand it and as we go through this series, what I wanted you to understand is what God has in store for his people when it comes to Pentecost Sunday. 50 days after the ascension of Christ, right? 50 days is Pentecost, and we're coming up on it. It's just a couple weeks away now. And you need to understand the purpose of it, and the reason I've taken this time is I really believe that a lot of us as Christians, we have a hard time really asking, and then as we ask, really believing God for something. But beyond that, I also know that we have a hard time understanding that there are things that God promises you and I in the Word that he says is ours. And you and I need to understand why it's ours. Some of it's through inheritance, because you and I are joint heirs with him. Think about it. If you are from a family and everyone in your family passes and you're one of those that, you know, your family has an estate or, you know, something major to leave behind, right? They're going to leave it to you, right? You're going to inherit the whatever, because not just because you carry the name, because the name isn't what it's about. It's about who you're connected to, right? It's about who you're related to. And there are things, according to the Word of God, that he teaches us that you and I inherit because of who we are. Right, because we are joint heirs with him, that we're an heir, we're connected to God. And so what he owns, we own. What he has available is available to you and I. And so many times I believe when we're praying and we're asking of God, we're not necessarily putting in that understanding, and we don't have the revelation of that, knowing that it's already available to us. God has already made it available to you and I. And so that comes into play when we get into the context of what Pentecost really is. There are things. There's things that God has promised you and I that is a part of what Pentecost really is to you and I. And so in Acts 2, 1 through 4, you know it, but pay attention to it today again. It says, when the day of Pentecost fully come, and if you write or underline in your Bible, you can underline fully come. When the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I'm going to stop there, and we'll progress a little bit next week. But I want you now to have an understanding that when we read this text, what I know by the Spirit of the Lord, because of the calendar of God that we are on, knowing that what we're entering, knowing the time that we are coming upon, that we have to understand and believe there's a suddenly coming for us. There's a suddenly for you, not just for a church, not just for a specific group of people, but for you and I, meaning that there are things that we've prayed about, there are things that we've believed God for, that what we have to understand is when it comes to Pentecost, God says it happens quickly. It will happen suddenly, right? In other words, it's a shifting of seasons. It's a shifting of seasons. We've gone through winter. We've shifted into spring. But according to God's calendar, it's not just spring, but there's a shift in the season in the spiritual realm. That there's going to be, it's going to be a time where our attitudes should change. If we are really connected into what God is saying to you and I, it's a time where our attitudes should change. Yes, amen. Some of us need that today. It's going to be a time where even we have an insurgence of the Holy Spirit. An insurgence of the Holy Spirit, right? Where we get just a complete in being engulfed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, right? He's going to do brand new things. He's going to go beyond, and it's so much deeper than that. But I want to just begin to lay a foundation, because there are two things that always prevail and pervade through Pentecost, And this is what you and I need to understand, that what God promises you and I through Pentecost, and it's in His Word, as we'll lay it out for you, is God always promises harvest, and God always promises revelation. Meaning that as we come on God's calendar, as we are a part of God's calendar right now, that what He is saying is that harvest is coming to you and I. On May 31st of 2020 is the day of Pentecost, right? And as we come on that day, you need to know that that is harvest time. It has begun. And so what God is saying is those things that we've been waiting on, longing on, crying out to heaven for, people that we've been believing God for, things that we've been believing God for, God says, according to His calendar, that it's harvest time. And I'm not just telling you this to, you know, give you something light and fluffy to cause you to believe God or have hope in something. I'm telling you because it's truth. What Pentecost is it's about harvest and it's about revelation. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and we know that then Peter preaches the first sermon and 3,000 people come to Christ. They get saved. Harvest begin to come. Even great revelation. There was great revelation after the day of Pentecost that came about the church and who God is and about the New Testament church and what it was, right? So what God is saying is that you and I need to have an expectation. We need to have an anticipation for what God is about to do. See, I have an expectation, anticipation about what God is doing in our city. Through us, through other ones. I got connected with the pastor just behind us this week, and we were communicating back and forth because they're doing something this week, and so are we, and I didn't want us to have a traffic jam on Euclid, so I said we need to, like, communicate, and we got to communicate, but what we found is that we have like vision for the same community. All right, and so what we have to have then as not just pastors, but people in the kingdom of God for our churches, right? And if you're connected to this ministry and you're watching, it's because you believe in what we're doing. There are people that watch us in China, which is crazy because, you know, the Word of God is trying to be snuffed out there. They have to do underground churches in China. And yet that's the second most viewed country in the world that we get watched, second to Australia. You know, think about that. Because there's a hunger. See, you and I need to, in America, especially through all of the hell that we've been going through, have an anticipation and an expectation of what God will do. Meaning, that we can't just sit back and say, oh, it's going to happen, because God said it's going to happen. No, God needs you and I to believe in it. He needs you and I to invest in it with our faith. He needs you and I to invest in it. That's why I said earlier that if you're local, we need you. Right? Because God needs you. Do you understand that God has called you and I to be His hands and His feet? That's what we are. We're the hands and feet of Him. And so He needs you and I. And so we have to operate with an expectation and an anticipation. Because today means that God wants you and I, what Pentecost is about, it's a time for you and I to align ourselves with the Word of God. It's a time to align ourselves with the Word of God. And today it's about a destination point on God's calendar to bring harvest into my life. And I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about harvest in every area of life. You've heard me say it, and I say it all the time when I'm praying for people, that God wants wholeness in our life, where there's nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken. And if you and I would understand that that's what God desires for our life, nothing missing, lacking, or broken, when you and I receive harvest, then it is, according to Malachi, more than we have room to receive, all right? Because we're already operating in a place of wholeness. The things I'm believing God for right now, if I was to say them, it would shock some people, and it would scare some people even, because I'm believing God for big things, huge things, right? And because I know that God says it's available to us. Right, I'm not asking Him for anything that He didn't already say in His Word, right? I don't believe in creating my own gospel. I believe we can ask whatever He says we can ask of and we'll receive it. That's what His Word says. So we need to have an expectation and an anticipation. And it's more than financial, as I said. It has everything to do with your life. It has everything to do with the call of God on your life. Harvest has to do with the plan of God for your life. Harvest has to do with the people in your life. The children in your life, the your spouse, whomever it may be, your business, has to do with all of that. Hallelujah. So we're entering harvest time. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know what I found out through the Word of God, and it's awesome? I've done some teaching, and I don't have time to go into it today, on giving and tithing and that, and relax. I'm not going to get into tithing. But I taught the church, at least this church, years ago on first fruits offering. And first fruits, there's you know, tithes, there's offering, there's first fruits, there's alms. Those are the kinds of offerings that we give. And you don't hear a lot of people talk about them, but believe it or not, they're in the Word of God. And first fruits is sort of the offering you give at the beginning of the year. It's the beginning, and it's well, you give a first fruits offering so that God can bless what's left. And when I did that teaching, I remember teaching the church at that time that what it is when you give God a first fruits offering is it's us sending a signal to the harvest. Lois, you might remember that. It's about sending a signal to the harvest to be released. And so when you and I obey God's commandments by giving, when you give your tithe, when you give your offering, what you are doing is you are sending a signal to the harvest to be released. That's why the Bible says, give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Because what you and I are doing, it's a principle, it's the law of reciprocity. And God says when you give, it's not just about giving to him or giving up something. It's about you. You're sending a signal. It's as if you were shooting up a flare and sending a signal of some kind that there's something more, right? If you were in trouble and out on the ocean and abandoned, you'll shoot a flare up to get help. That's sort of what it is when you and I give. You're shooting up a sign, sending a signal. And so the harvest then is directed in your direction, hallelujah. And so it's so much more than that. So you and I send a signal. That's what we're doing today when you and I give at the end of this service. You're sending a signal for the harvest to be released. But the harvest can't be released until its appointed time. Remember I said Pentecost is about harvest and revelation, right? I believe our church is coming into a harvest season. We've seen it over the years, just all the things that God has blessed and done. I believe that, all right? And the reason I believe that is because we've sent a signal, right? We've done everything that the Word of God has commanded us to do, and now we're hitting God's calendar. 2 weeks from today is God's calendar. I'm just expecting miracles. I'm expecting the heavens to be open, right? I'm even thinking, God, you lead us, you guide us, but if we're to start live church, let it be Pentecost Sunday, right? Let it be that day where we can hit your calendar to be a part of what you're doing, right? Because remember in our text it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and I told you to underline that, fully come. What that means, fully come, is after the completion of time. After the completion of time, meaning there was a season they had to go through. Right? There were 50 days, right, from the time of Jesus' death and ascension to Pentecost. 50 days. There was a season that they had to go through after completion of time, after some days passed, from one destination to the next. There had to be intervals. There had to be some things that they had to go through. You and I know what that's like in life. We can have a memorable moment, something good can happen in our life, and then there's a difficult season. But harvest does come. It's inevitable. It's just a part of the way God has things set up. Everything in this life is cycles and seasons, everything. And so even this earth, right? We in the dead of winter, we can't wait for spring. And then spring comes and we're like, oh, I can't wait for it to get cold again. Or we're eager for the next season, right? But to everything that God does, there are cycles and there are seasons. Hallelujah. Cycles and seasons for it all. And so many times in the intervals of life, we get all choked up in things, or we allow ourselves to get all worked up over things and situations and circumstances, and we'll allow what people did to us to cause us to become bitter, or we'll allow ourselves to not walk in forgiveness, and we'll be walking in unforgiveness. And what I've learned is that no one can forfeit my harvest but me. No one. No one can forfeit my harvest but me. because God has this all set up that his calendar and the clock is going to strike it. And for this year, for May 31st, it becomes a Pentecost Sunday. And so harvest time begins, and nobody can forfeit my harvest but me. But the enemy does, and the enemy will try to cause you and I to doubt. He will cause you and I to fear and walk in disbelief, thinking it's not for me. It's not for me. But it is for you. God's word is for each of us today. It's for each of us. Hallelujah. For each of us. There can be people that are working on our last nerve, but I'm not going to allow people to determine my harvest, right? So many times, but let me put it this way. We often leave our place of purpose over personality. How many have ever got yourself off of, you had a direction or agenda, or you were on a good place with God or with people, with someone in your life? It could be a spouse, a friend, a coworker, someone in the church. You were at a good place. You were getting along. But all of a sudden, something happens, or they did something, or you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and they get to you. And now it has affected not just today, but every day since. It's affected how you see them, or how you interact with them, or how much you call them, or how much you tell them, right? And yet, what my point is that you and I can't ever leave our place of purpose over personality. Right? We can't leave God's place and where he's positioned us and what he's positioned us for because someone worked on our last nerve. So many times we give up on all of that. What do I mean? That we give up what God has in store for you and I. We abandon it because of one moment of our flesh just blowing up and doing and saying whatever it is we need to do or say, right? We abandon all of that. See, God has you and I positioned for something. We right now, God's people are positioned for harvest. You and I, as we're watching this, and you're in your homes, and you're drinking your coffee, or wherever you may be, you're sitting on your porch, you are positioned for God's harvest. And you cannot allow what people do, or what's going on in your life, or what's missing, or any of those things, to take you off the path of and the place of really understanding that you are positioned right now. You are days away from entering God's harvest in your life. And what the enemy wants you and I to do is get us off focused on that we're coming up on Pentecost, that we're coming up on a season of harvest in our life. Hallelujah. See, why is Pentecost so important? Why am I taking the time to share on this week after week after week? And the reason really is, it's because the only way you and I alluded to it a few moments ago, the only way you and I ever get to Pentecost, the only way that even in Acts 2, it said that on the day they were in one place in one accord, right, the day of Pentecost fully come. It means after they had gone through some things, right, after they had gone through a season of challenges and difficulties. The reason that this is so important is because to get to Pentecost, you and I had to go through a process. To get to the place, now listen to me here because this is what's important. To get to this Pentecost, it's coming up 2 weeks from today. Over the last weeks, we've been going through some things as a nation, as a people, you and your own personal lives, and around the world, but in the church. There's been intense things going on in the body of Christ, not just because of what's happening in the world, but spiritual warfare and wickedness of all kinds. And if you're at all tapped into what God is doing, you recognize we're up against more than just a virus, that there's something spiritual that's happening. And so the reason Pentecost is so important is because you had to go through a process. And like you and I have to go through a process, wheat has to go through a process. And as we understand what wheat goes through, and when wheat goes through a process, it's the process of what wheat goes through that makes it valuable. The Bible teaches us a little about this, and I'm not going to have the time to go into it in a lot of depth today. But wheat gets its value because of all the process that it goes through, and the great value that it used to really have, right? The Bible tells us that the wheat and the tare grow up together, meaning that what's valuable and weeds grow up together, right? Sometimes we can look at our life and there are people in the midst of our circle of life and family and friends that are wheat and then there are tare. weeds, right? People that are always sort of in the way or causing issue, right? Or just like the enemy attacking, all of those things. Now, and the Bible really, as we understand the teaching of Jesus, that we don't need to identify who's wheat and who's tares, right? But that the Lord of the harvest, the Bible says, shows what's wheat and what's tares. And yet when it comes to harvest time for wheat, the head of the wheat bow down, right? As wheat is ready for harvest, if you've ever seen it in a field, right? You'll notice that the head of the wheat, it doesn't just stand straight up, but that it bows down, right? It's an indication that it's harvest time because it has a weight in its head that causes it to have a position that tares does not. Tear weeds and whatnot, they don't bow down like wheat does, right? And it's interesting because I found in my life that when God starts doing work on us, when God starts allowing certain things to come into our life that maybe we don't like or we don't appreciate, or we're like thinking, God, why is this happening to me? What it does and what it should cause you and I to do is to bow. When we're getting to a place where God wants to use us and mature us and allow things to happen in our life, it should cause us to bow before him, not to stand up in pride against him, not to stand up and try to rear against it, but to have a position like wheat. Really, wheat worships. I did an in-depth teaching about that little nugget right there several years ago, that wheat worships, and you and I need to desire to be that. Just by bowing before their creator, wheat worships, and yet it goes through a process, even from that moment, from the moment that it begins worshiping, right? From the moment that wheat begins bowing, it goes through a process, all right? And I've learned that you and I have to go through a process, and that anything that God loves, sometimes he cuts on. Right, wheat has to get cut down to ever be able to be used. In the back, we have flour that was donated for the food bank. And in order for it to ever get to that place and that consistency that you and I use it, you don't just take it from the field and bring it into your kitchen. No, it's not usable that way. And so it goes through a process. And you and I go through a process. And what we're in right now, just before Pentecost, is the process. Just like wheat, you and I were in a place that things may have looked good, just like a field of wheat looks good and beautiful right before a harvest and all of that. And then something happens in our life and we sort of have to bow down. In John chapter 16 through 18, it really teaches, and Jesus talks about the purging process. And tells us that anything that doesn't produce, that he'll just cut down. But the things that do produce, that God will cut back. Haven't you ever noticed in your life that God starts cutting on things and cutting areas of our life, and sometimes people will leave, or maybe they'll leave for a little bit, or there will be areas where things are cut back in our life, not just maybe finances or people, but in all areas of your life. Because anything that God loves, he'll cut back. Just like our trees, just like our shrubs, right, in order for them not to get out of control and become unfruitful, you prune them. And so we understand, according to John 16 through 18, there is a pruning process. And then we understand that what God does, even after he keeps us cut back and trimmed and all of those things, that just like wheat, God will take you and I through a process where we get bundled together. And wheat, when you take wheat and you cut it down and you begin bundling it together, that's the process that you and I go through where we get bundled together with other people and they get on our nerves. See, I've often found that when God puts me together with people that sometimes get on my nerves, it's because God is trying to bring something out of me that doesn't belong. You know. You know. Sometimes the people we chose to marry are that person. And it's a match made in heaven because God knew what he was doing. Amen. Right? There's some people that we are connected to that we love them, but we're struggling to like them. Right, underneath it all, we do love them, but there's oftentimes we don't like them. That's why I said earlier, don't ever let personality drive you and I off from purpose. I've learned that when someone's personality is different than me, I need them in my life. I don't like to have people all around me that agree with me politically or agree with me according to Scripture all the time. I just don't. Sometimes I just like a good argument. You know what I mean, David? Sometimes it's just fun for me, right? But I also learn that not only do I learn, but I learn about them, but I also learn more about God. I think if I get so irritated with people who disagree, what must God feel like? Right? Looking at us and not agreeing with us all the time. What I know is that God uses people to sort of buffer us. God uses people to keep you and I tempered. God uses people so that you and I won't just get in a world of trouble all the time. And so just like wheat gets bundled together, God will often bundle you and I with people that will rub us the wrong way, that will get on our nerves, amen? And then after wheat is bundled, then wheat gets put onto a wagon, onto a bumpy road, and taken to its next destination. And it's that journey on the bumpy road that where often things really get started. And after it goes on that bumpy road, the bumps of life, just like you and I go through, the wheat it directly then goes to the threshing floor. The threshing floor. And that's where wheat, and this is true, wheat is pounded and crushed. Wheat is pounded and it's crushed. And then finally, after the pounding, this is really awesome. After wheat is pounded and crushed, it's thrown up into the wind. And all the chaff, all the parts that are worthless, are blown away. It's removed. And only that is valuable to be processed as flour is usable, falls because of its weight. See, wheat, when you and I see wheat in the Word of God, and there are times where we'll see it all through the Word of God where it's mentioned, wheat represents prosperity. And what it means is once I've gone through a process, you can't dictate my value. Once I've gone through a process, you can't dictate my value. Meaning, there will always be people in our lives that sort of say, oh, you know, they don't like you, they don't like me, they don't like this about us, they don't like that, and they'll leave you, they'll go somewhere else, they'll stop talking to you, right? And people always are trying to dictate our value. But see, you can't really dictate my value because you haven't gone through my process. I can't dictate your value because I haven't gone through the crushing and the beating like you have of life. Right. It is those times of life that have dictated your value. That's why I said earlier, when I said we need you if you're local, we want you to be a part of what we're doing here. We want you to come and worship with us and not just volunteer, but we want you to connect and be a part because you have value. You have something of value to offer that nobody else can dictate. Once you and I go through the process, we can understand our value. See, it's wheat doesn't have its value until after it's gone through the process. It's not as valuable in the field as after it's gone through the process, right? Just like anything, right? You can buy a piece of property and it has some value, but it's not until you put that property to work and you make it work for you, whether you put a house on it, a business on it, right, or you put agriculture on it, that it increases its value. It's the same thing about you and I. It's the process that we go through that causes you and I to become valuable. And so God knows that. So it is the process. You and I are in that process right now as a people. We're about to enter harvest time, just like wheat. You are about to step into your real place of value. Hear me today. You're going to step into a place with God where you are going to understand your value, where you are going to understand your real worth and all that God has available for you. That it's not just about you're gifted in an area or able to help in an area, but you will have an understanding of your real value and what God has for you. Think about it. God loved you and I enough to let you and I go through a process so that we can reach harvest time. Think about it. God loved you and I enough to go through a process so we reach harvest time, so that we possess value. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says in the text in Acts 2 that we read that they were all met in the upper room. They were all in one place, in one accord. Hallelujah. One place in one accord. In the upper room, which is an ascended place. Not seeing from an earthly perspective. You and I have got to look at this as Pentecost from a higher perspective. I preached a message a few months back. Remember when I used the ladder? And it was called Come Up Higher. If you saw the pre-service announcements, it was on there. Right, I used the ladder, and I was showing you sometimes we have to change our perspective. They were in the upper room. They needed to get a heavenly perspective. See, what you and I need to do right now, because, see, you're in the process. And if you're in the process and you know what it is to be being beaten and thrashed and all of that, like, just like wheat goes through, then you sometimes it's hard to see that you possess value when you're being beaten. Think about it this way. I've talked with, counseled with, helped people in battered relationships. Just talked to one this week, a woman who left with nothing but just was on her back to get out of a relationship, get her three kids out. It was a terrible ordeal. And yet she has just come out of it. And one of the things I told her, I said, you cannot see it now because of just what you went through. But what I do want you to understand is that you don't understand your value now. You don't even understand. I said, don't you dare get into another relationship. I said, because you need to understand before you get into another relationship with someone that you possess value. And what you need is to be able to find someone and allow someone to find you that will see the value that's in you. See, that's just like it is with you and I. When we are in the throes of life, being beaten and tossed and thrown into the wind, we can't often see what's ahead. We can't see that we possess any value. But it's not until the wheat went through the process and it's gathered up and ready to be sold that you understand its real value after the process. See, and on the day of Pentecost, they went into the upper room to get a better perspective. They went there to get a higher perspective, to get a kingdom mindset, to get to an ascended place. You and I often, and we're guilty of this in the church, we look from an earthly perspective. From an earthly perspective, our church doesn't have the resources to continue to feed the community through June. From an earthly perspective, we don't have the resources to continue to maintain the properties and do everything that needs to be done. From an earthly perspective,
right?
From an earthly perspective, nothing we do makes any sense. The guy from Schneider's, the owner of Schneider's, I talked to him on the phone, and he knows the area, and he said, well, okay, what's the address? And I told him, he says, oh, okay. He said, what's close to that? Your church? And I said, well, Buyer's Market is across the street. I said, we're about a block from Lafayette School. Oh, I know. He said, really? You guys are going to serve that many from that place? I said, yes, we are. I said, we've done four, and we can do it. He knew exactly where we were, right? Now, what am I saying? We're able to do what we do from this place with whatever resources we have because of us seeing everything that we're doing from an ascended place. You and I are able to see and believe God for whatever it is we need to believe God and enter this harvest time by doing it from an ascended place. Doing it by seeing things in a heavenly perspective. By being in agreement with the Word of God. Sometimes this is one of the areas where we get in trouble. Something happens when we come into the power of agreement. You and I agreeing. The Bible says where any two or three agree on anything, it shall be done. You know what I found is that oftentimes you can be praying about something, you're praying about it, but is your spouse. And one of the greatest revelations I enjoy the most about bringing it out and counseling among couples is that right there, is they'll do their prayer time, and it's okay, they pray separately, whatever. Maybe the husband prays to go driving down the road, and the wife goes into her prayer closet. It doesn't really matter, but are they praying for the same thing? Are they in agreement? Because there is something that's important and powerful about agreement. Because when we agree, something supernatural happens. And what we cannot do is ever let people break our agreement. Whenever we're in covenant, don't let anyone break your agreement. Right. And marriage is a covenant. Even being a part of church is a covenant. People will break their covenant with a church because someone broke their agreement. They whispered in their ear. They said something. Right. Marriages break up their covenant because of that. And what I always believe about covenant, especially when it comes to your relationships, whether you're engaged or married or just in covenant with the people in your family, if I'm in covenant with you and someone speaks against you, they had better watch out. Right. Meaning, my wrath will come down. Right. That I never want anyone to speak against someone that I'm in covenant with. Because what I know about God, when God speaks of covenant, if I'm in covenant with them, right, what they're doing by speaking against that person is they're speaking against me. When someone speaks against you, that's why you've heard me and other pastors say, when someone comes against you, they're really coming against God because you're in covenant with him. That's why when people say things, whether it's about me or talk about you or whatever, I don't find a need to go and defend myself. I don't get on Facebook Live and rant or any of those things. Why? Because God takes care of that. I'm in covenant with him. Right. I don't need to defend myself. Right. And what that is, that's just a Bible basic right there. A Bible basic that a lot of people never get taught. Meaning that in the context of marriage, if someone speaks against your spouse, you know, in a matter, you know, sometimes we'll do it. We always do things against Lois, right? We do it in a manner to have fun, right? But if I was to do it in a malicious way, then it means her husband should be all over me, right? And vice versa, right? Because they're in agreement, right? Nobody should speak against our households. Nobody should be speaking against our families. Nobody should be speaking against our church families within our hearing distance, right? And then what's worse is how we end up breaking our agreement. This is all going to come together for you in just a moment. This all breaks our agreement because we participate in it. The moment that I allow myself to hear that or to receive that, I break my agreement. That's how the enemy gets in. That's how he gets in. Let me do it this way. You have a fight with your spouse or someone, right? Have a fight with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or whatever. Watch this now. And how many of us have been guilty of having a fight with them and then you run and tell your mother? Maybe when we were younger, right? Or you run and tell a good friend. And within a day or two, right, if you've been married a while, it can go longer, silent treatment, right? Within a day or two, you guys are all made up and everything's great, acting as though nothing ever happened. Back to smooching them. But your mother or the person you told is still going to be mad because you broke agreement. It's easier. You and your spouse, you and your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you can make up. You make up quickly. We do it all the time, right? You're fine, but it's the people you told about what happened that hold the grudge. And what I've found is it's the people that I've told those things to that will bring it up later. If they find out or share something or see something about that person, right? They'll say something like, oh, why are you fighting again? The enemy will use it to break your agreement. See, when the Bible uses the word covenant, what it means is agreement. That's why when we do weddings, right, and weddings are about coming in covenant or coming in agreement. Vows are your agreements, right? You're coming in covenant. What's my point is you and I cannot allow anyone to break our agreement. You and I can't allow anyone to break our agreement when it comes to us and the Word of God. You and I can't allow anyone to break our agreement with the people in our life that God has put us in the midst of. Because that is how the enemy uses. One of the ways the enemy has taken our harvest in this life is he has broken your agreement with people. There are people that have left my life and have left your life that because they weren't in an ascended place hearing God's voice, they broke covenant. And you and I need to maintain our agreement. You and I need to maintain our covenant right now more than ever, right? We need to do it in our families. We need to do it in our relationships. Hallelujah. I could go into some depth, but I'm out of time. Even that when people, I've learned that when people speak against the people I'm in agreement with, it's an antichrist spirit at work, trying to break down and tear down what God is doing. You and I need to understand that right now. The people that we're in agreement with, according to the Word of God, when there are people rising up against them and talking and sowing all sorts of division or whatnot, I'm telling you, the reason I know that that's not of God is because God's Word says that He's a gatherer. And God will never speak something that does not gather. If you ever want to know if what someone's telling you is necessary or whether it's of the enemy, if they're sharing something with you that doesn't gather people, that's a spirit of antichrist. That's a divider right there. God is a gatherer. God is a uniter. God is one that comes in agreement with people. Hallelujah. Unless two agree, then we can't get anything done. We can't get anything done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be able to even go as far as I wanted to today, but I will next week. But what I want you to understand about Pentecost, well, I'm going to fast forward just for a moment. And we're going to prepare in a moment for you to give and to give our tithes and our offerings. But the reason I wanted to specifically do it, and we do it a lot of times at the end, is because what Pentecost is, even the Bible speaks of different kinds of offerings. I said before, tithes and offering, and there's a barley offering in the Old Testament and all of these things. But when it comes to Pentecost, in the Word of God, the Bible says that there's an offering that we give at Pentecost, and it's just a free will offering. Meaning you give whatever you want. How many have ever probably seen preachers and people online, on TV or whatnot, they'll say, I believe the Lord's telling you to every person that's watching to give X dollars. Fine, whatever. I'm not going to judge it. What I'm going to say about Pentecost is that there's not a number you put on it. It's a free will offering. That's what Pentecost is. Remember, it's you and I getting ready for harvest. It's you and I acknowledging, God, you've done all of this for me. God, you've done all of this for me. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give something back to you. It's free will. It's just me acknowledging how awesome God is. It's me acknowledging how great He is, how marvelous He's been in my life. It's me acknowledging what a offering at Pentecost means. It's me acknowledging that God has a divine appointment set for me. That's what it is. And so my free will offering for Pentecost is me just saying, God, I recognize that you have a divine appointment. You have a harvest that is signed for me. Hallelujah. And so I give you this. I give you this freely for you. And then what you need to do is, and then when you give to God, when you give a free will offering, you don't have to do anything to receive your harvest. Because you operated in obedience. Because once you and I see our seed, we just need to receive it. So many times in the church, we're just guilty of thinking we got to do something to get what we need from God. What God says is, nope, if you'll just do this. There were barley offerings and wheat offerings there's all kinds of offerings throughout the Word of God. And this is the kind of time, this is the time that the Word says that when you give it, you just need to just receive it. Just receive what God has for you. What is it that you've been believing God for? What is it that you have been needing to be a part of your harvest? Because what it is, what you are doing when you sow a free will offering today is you're acknowledging, you're setting a reminder to the calendar that it's harvest time. You're acknowledging. Remember, you're sending a signal up. Harvest is on its way. And that's what you and I are doing today. I want you today, if you're watching, I want you if you watch this later, and some of you will, and we are glad you watch whenever you watch. But I want you today to give. If you say, if you feel comfortable giving to your church because you go somewhere else, do that. I'm just telling you, you need to give to the kingdom today. You need to send a signal that it's harvest time. You need to acknowledge to God that, and say, God, I'm trusting in you. I'm believing you. God, I've been in the process just like the wheat. I've been getting beaten and gathered and all of these things. But God, I know that my value is about to be released. God, I know that there's more that's in me. And so I believe as you do that, that you can expect when the calendar and the clock strikes 12 midnight, right, on May 31st of this year, and it's Pentecost Sunday, that you have entered your harvest season, and you're going to be in a position to receive the things from God that you've been believing him for. And you're not going to allow anyone to break your agreement. Hallelujah. And so we're sharing the web address. And as we share the web address on there for you to give, you can give online. If you need to mail it in, you can do that. But we want you just to give. Give your offering. Send a signal today. Send a signal up to heaven and say, Lord, I recognize it's my harvest time and I possess value. Hallelujah. We're going to do that. So you can give at freshfirechurch.net. Those of you that are watching on other pages that we're not able to comment on right this minute, it's freshfirechurch.net. And we just want you to be obedient in it. Hallelujah. In all that you do today, as we get ready to leave, just be in prayer for this week and all the things that are going on for Enormous Closet, for the food distribution happening here at the church and the hundreds of people that'll be blessed. And just pray with me that it's harvest time. That it be harvest time for our church, that God is going to connect and send people who need to be a part of this ministry, who've been watching from the sidelines, and God's calling them forward. God's calling them to be a part. I want you to believe that with me, if you will. Can we pray together today? As we pray, I want to pray over your seed. I want to pray that God would bless it and multiply it for your life. Father, I thank you today. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I glorify your great name. Lord, you are marvelous. Lord, I thank you today for your word, that, Lord, as we enter this season, God, as we enter this time, hallelujah, that, Lord, you are doing extraordinary things, that, Lord, we are going into a time that, God, we can expect to receive so much more. Father, I pray today in the name of Jesus that, Lord, as people give, as some have already given, I thank you that, Lord, it is harvest time. I thank you that, Lord, we can expect to receive, God, things from heaven that we've been believing God for because we're entering your calendar. We're entering your time. And so, Father, I bless you and I thank you for it right now. God, I praise you and I ask that, God, that we would just be obedient. God, I thank you that as we give, we're just going to give freely to you. Just saying, God, we're just giving, and the Lord, we're just expecting, Lord, to enter this season, this time on your calendar, Lord, to have absolute breakthrough, to receive harvest, God, into our life. That, God, we're not going to be in the process anymore, but, God, we're going to come into the place of value. We're going to come into the place, God, of where value is created. And so I bless you, and I thank you for it, God. I pray that, God, that you would cover every person watching right now, every person that joined us today, every person that will watch it later. I pray and I ask now in the name of Jesus that, Father, everything that burdens them down, weighs them down. God, I pray and I ask that, Lord, you would be the lifter of their head now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you will be with this ministry as we reach out and clothe and provide for so many households this week. As, God, we feed 600 families. God, I pray that you would just, Lord, give us grace. God, give us mercy. God, give us strength. I thank you that I pray over every volunteer, over every person, over every organization, every person that's helping in any way. God bless Schneiders. God bless every provider of that's making this all happen. I thank you, and I pray that, God, you would bless them abundantly, God. Bless them abundantly. God bless every person connected and a part of it in the name of Jesus. God, we glorify you. Father, as we go about our week, God, I pray that you would do extraordinary things. God, start a chain of events in our life that's unstoppable. Lord, let us just get rest tonight. God, for people who have been weary and struggling with their sleep, God, I pray that they would wake up tomorrow refreshed, renewed, restored, revived in you, God, ready to start a brand new week and see the glory and the goodness of God all around. Father, we bless you and we thank you. Now, Father, bless every seed, bless every offering that's given today. Multiply it as we expect to receive harvest in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Have a beautiful week, everybody. God bless you. Thanks for watching.